Okay, shalom everyone. This is Keisha Gallagher of Grace and Torah, graceandtorah.net. And this is the month of Kislev, the month of dreams. And if you happen to have watched the videos that I made about this month, I said that I was going to talk a little bit more about dreams with my good friend, minister, teacher, author, Bonnie Manning. And so Bonnie is with us, and we are going to talk about dreams. So Bonnie, let everybody know a little bit about who you are.
Well, I'm really excited to do this podcast because I absolutely love dreams. One of my favorite things to talk about. My name is Bonnie Manning. I have a pen name of Tekoa, which is the Hebrew word for trumpet. It's the sound that brings people together in unity. So you can reach me at newwineskins.net or at tekoamanning.com.
Wonderful. So 9 of the 10 dreams that are in the Torah are read during this month. We've already started those portions, so we are going to talk a little bit about them. But just in case this is the first time you've heard anything about dreams from Bonnie or me, I just want to mention the Hebrew word for dream, and it is halom. It is just like shalom, but it starts with a chet instead of a sheen. And interestingly, they have very similar meanings. It is about restoring, being made whole, coming into health. So there's healing involved. And that may sound really strange to you that your dreams have some aspect of that in your spiritual and physical being, but they do. We know that sleep itself is restorative. And so I think a lot of people have dreams and they write them off. Bonnie and I want to really just bring out some scriptures that Adonai is not a respecter of persons. He speaks Amen. To everyone. And he even, you know, there were plenty of wicked men or those that were just not on the right path that God gave dreams to in the scripture. So you don't even have to be a believer for him to be speaking to you in the night.
Amen. And we see him throughout his word giving dreams to leaders of nations, perplexing dreams, dreams that wake them up in the night. And I think it's fascinating. The Father of lights is giving us riddles in the night. And he's warning us of things to come, or he's encouraging us. And so many times people just, as you say, they write it off as they ate bad pizza. They, you know, they watched something on TV and this is why they had a dream. But that's just not the case. A lot of times the Father is really trying to speak to us, and the more wisdom and the more we learn about this, the more he can pour out his spirit like he proclaimed he would do in the last days. He said that he would pour out his spirit on all mankind. Amen. And he said, your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams. And even on the bond slaves, the maid servants, that he would pour out all of his spirit.
Amen. And I believe he is doing that right now. And I believe that the majority of the people listening to us have dreams, a lot of dreams that they're dismissing. And so our hope is that you're going to start paying more attention and that you're going to start recording them. And I think that's sort of a key, Bonnie. I know for me is if I write them down, of course, I remember more of them, more detail, and sometimes like a key detail that sort of unlocks the dream rather than just thinking about it all day. We lose some things as the day goes on because they are just, like you said, riddles in the night. They are like parables. They're very metaphoric. The language in them is very, very figurative. And I don't know about you, but the more I started studying the scripture, the more I started understanding proper Bible study and all of those things, the easier it became to discern dreams, because to me, they're spoken a lot in the same language.
I agree. Yes. And there's all kinds of symbols, and we often don't realize how symbolic they really are and how layered they are. You know, we read about fat cows and skinny cows, but I'll have people send me dreams and they'll, you know, for instance, one lady sent me a dream the other day and it was about a black cat. And she was concerned about her pet, but the dream had nothing to do with her pet. It had to do with hidden things. Right. And darkness can sometimes mean that in a dream.
Yes.
The symbols are there. And sometimes we just need to pray and dig in deeper to see what he's trying to show us.
Amen. So I would like to read, and I know you probably may have planned to read this too, but I want to read the scripture in Job about dreams. And this is from Job 33. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 18. And it says, "Indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction." And that word for instruction is the word musar, which means correction. You'll find it a lot in the Proverbs. In verse 17, it says, "That he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol." And so do you have to be a Job or an Abraham or a Joseph or someone like that in order for God to speak to you in the night? I don't believe so. We all receive correction in the night through dreams.
Yes, correction and future events, warnings, encouragement.
Yes, amen. And so maybe that's a good thing to talk about, Bonnie. There are several different types of dreams, and he does certainly warn us of things that may be happening in the present, but things also that are happening in the future. Sometimes the setting, being in the past or like in an old house, is often something from the past that maybe still needs to be dealt with or that we need to be delivered from. Sometimes I think, like you said, we do just need encouragement, and we'll have a dream and it may even seem bizarre, but that's what he is showing us. He's showing us how much he loves us, and we may be dealing with rejection at that time, and he's showing us that he's right there with us. What are some other types?
Well, I wanted to share just a couple examples.
Yeah,
if that's
great.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
My mother also was a dreamer. When I say she was a dreamer, she had multiple dreams and she had prophetic dreams. And once, when my brother was in the military, he was stationed out in California. And this was back in the early 80s, right when the bungee cord jumping became popular. And he had planned to go bungee jumping this particular day, him and his friends. And my mother called him, and she said, the night before, she called him and said, "I'm not really sure what's going on, but I had the strangest dream. You were on top of this huge mountain, and it was like these rubber bands and things were on you, connected to you, and you jumped, and they all snapped, and you fell to the ground, and I was so concerned about you." Well, she didn't even know he was going to go bungee jumping, and so he canceled.
Yeah, I would have too.
And actually, somebody's cord did break. He found out later, and so it was a warning. And warnings in dreams are very peculiar. A lot of times, if a person has a dream and it's very vivid and it will not leave them, the Father is trying to warn us of something so that we can pray, so that we can seek counsel, and so that he can protect us.
Amen.
So the other dream I wanted to share, as we're discussing morning dreams, and probably my youngest son, he's in his mid-20s, but when he was 2 or 3 years old, I had a dream every night at 3 a.m. for probably 3 or 4 days. And in the dream, he was in this, it looked like he was just surrounded by all this fog and that he wasn't breathing. And the dreams were so real that I would get up and I would go in his room and I would place my hand by his mouth to make sure he was breathing. And I would pray. I was very concerned. But every night when I had this particular dream, he was on the couch. And there was just so much fog, I couldn't see him. Well, a few days later, my house caught on fire. And I woke up at 3 a.m. and my son was on the couch and it was smoke. And we were all safe and we were able to get out of the house. But sometimes what we dream happens.
Yes.
Because he tells us of things to come. He says he will warn his prophets or his people of things to come. Sometimes those things are exciting and very good things. And sometimes they're warnings to protect us, because ultimately the Father wants to protect us.
He does. Amen. I've definitely had warning dreams. I've had dreams where he was just kind of showing me what was going to happen. I know my husband has a lot of dreams where, and his dreams are a little more perplexing to me, but he happens to be very dyslexic. So even in waking life, he deals with, like, when he's in pain, he tells me what color it is. And that doesn't make any sense to me, but it does to him. And so when he has dreams, there'll be, maybe there's a conflict in the dream with, or an interaction with a person. And he has very intense emotions, you know, either way about what's going on. And then it may be the next day or it may be within that week that he will have a real life situation. And when the emotion, the exact same feelings come up, he knows it's the dream, you know, that the dream was showing him what was going to happen. And actually it's helped him to not let something escalate or something like that. So I find that fascinating, because mine do not play out exactly that way with the feeling. Like I said, he sees a lot in pictures and colors, and even when he's awake.
That's so interesting. I think it's interesting too that when we look at scripture, we don't just read the word dreams in the night. We read visions in the night. And so it goes back to that restful state you were reading about in Job, where our body and our spirit man is at rest and he can deposit things into our spirit and speak to us.
Amen. And during the waking life, we have so many distractions. You and I were talking about that. I don't think we hear, because it says in Job also, you know, that God speaks once and twice and we don't hear him. And I think it's because of all the distractions. So when we are asleep, he has our full attention.
Amen. I wanted to read a scripture or two about that, because if we look at Daniel 7:13, it says, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven." He's seeing things in the night, in this vision in the night. And when we read about Joseph in Matthew, it talks about him having these night visions and these angels appearing to him in dreams. So not only can we have a dream, but an angel can appear in a dream. A lot of people, I think, are afraid of these types of things, because who comes against the dreamer? The adversary does. We see it with Joseph. He gets his colorful coat, and his brothers, it says they hated him. And then he has a dream, and it says they hated him the more. And then by the time he has the next dream, they hated him even more than that. So
right,
the adversary is coming against the spirit, and the spirit was poured out because Yeshua went to the Father and he said, "Wait for the gift." And so I feel like a lot of us in the body, we've been really focused on truth, truth, truth. But Yeshua said that he was looking for the bride that worshiped him in spirit and truth. Amen. He wants to be intimate with us.
Yes. Amen. So keeping a dream journal and paying attention, I know for you and I both, Bonnie, that it has brought a different level of intimacy. And you do know that he is speaking to you in the night. And he's speaking to your spouse. And he's even speaking to your children.
Definitely. And they say that after being awake from a dream, within 10 or 15 minutes, you lose a large portion of it. So it's best when you have a dream, even if you're very tired or sleepy, you can grab your phone, you can turn your voice text on, you can jot something down, keep a notepad by your bed, because these are messages from the Father of the universe.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes, Bonnie, if I'm really tired, you know, most of the smartphones that people carry also have those voice recorders. So you can keep your eyes closed and recount the dream and then write it down even the next day. And that's helpful too.
Very much. Yes. So let's talk about Joseph a little bit more.
Absolutely.
You know, when we start reading about his dreams in Genesis 37, he's a young man, and I really believe that the dreams were perplexing, and he wanted to see what his father would say, what his siblings would say.
Yes, I agree.
And it's almost as if by the time we visit with Joseph again, he's been placed in a position, and then he is falsely accused, and then he is put in the prison where he's in leadership. And all of a sudden, we see him interpreting dreams. The dreamer now is interpreting dreams. And he makes a statement where he tells the baker and the cupbearer, he says, "Don't all interpretations come from the Father?"
Amen.
It's Genesis 40, verse 8. They said to him, "We have had a dream and there is no one to interpret it." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please." So he's not prideful. He's not arrogant. He is letting them know that he is seeking the Father for the interpretations of their dreams.
Amen.
There are people that are gifted in dream interpretation. But the person who's had the dream, they have the background of what's going on in their life, and they have all the details. An interpreter, the interpreter doesn't always know what all is transpiring in the person's life. So they have to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit on the specifics. Once you start picking up the symbols and the metaphors, the person who has dreamed it themselves should be able, with learning these different symbols, although they can be layered.
Yeah, talk about what you mean by the layering, because I think that's important.
Well, let's go back to Joseph, and we can look at layering with his dream, because he has the dream, and then the dream doesn't come forth for like 17 years. And so he has the dream and it does come forth, but there are layers in there, because when we look at his dream, even with the dream with the baker and the cupbearer, we have Joseph going through one of the hardest times in his life in prison, and there are two men with him. And we have Yeshua on the cross, and there are two men with him. And one of the men on the cross cries out to Yeshua, and he says, "You're going to be with me in paradise." But the other man doesn't. So now we have the cupbearer and the baker, two men. One of them ends up being put back into his position of authority, and the other man, we know he doesn't. He dies a horrible death.
Right.
So we have all these symbols. We have the bread, we have the wine. You can almost look at Joseph's life and just see so many things that are comparable to Yeshua.
Yes. So on the basic level, you do have real men that had real dreams that had real outcomes, but on even a higher level, a different layer, we can see the prophecy, the prophetic of Yeshua's life in that.
Yes. And sometimes dreams can be something that's happening right then in your life, but also has happened before, or there can be hidden layers. And that's a difficult thing to describe. But often people will have dreams about people in their dreams that they knew in high school, that they worked with on their job, and they'll send them to me and they'll say, well, I haven't seen this lady in 4 or 5 years. But once we start looking up the names of these people, we get more details on what the Father's trying to show them in a dream. And I've shared a dream with you before that I had where I was trying to get to my next door neighbor's house. It was the house that I had grown up in as a child. And I totally had forgotten about the next door neighbor. But in my dream, I remembered them just so clearly. I could see the couple that lived there, and their last name was Miracle.
Right.
So the Father was pulling up these people and putting them in my dream because of their name and because I needed a miracle at the time because I was very sick.
Amen. And so looking at those, the different meanings does give you great insight because it's not always that person representing themselves. It can be the meaning of their name, some of the strongest characteristics about that person. And it's so insightful.
It really is. And there's a lot of people having dreams with Donald Trump in it because of what his name means. It means chief ruler, which is Adonai. He's the chief ruler of the world. Or someone will tell me they had a dream with their old friend from high school named David. Well, that's the beloved. And many times he's just showing us in our dreams if our sister is in our dream or our mother. A lot of times that represents the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh.
Yeah, those mother figures, sisters, sometimes even the daughter.
Yes.
Or even the name. I know the dream you mentioned about the black cat. Her cat's name in that dream was Sophie.
Yes, wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if someone's listening and they're having dreams and there's different people in the dreams, just look up their first name and see what it means. Sometimes even their last name will have great meaning. Sometimes a particular store or even the name of a state, I will look up the meaning. And it's so rich with just symbols that he's trying to give us.
Amen.
And then with all of the amazing teachers we have today, and I know just from discovering Halisa Alwine and her creation gospel, we can also add when there's numbers in our dreams, when there's animals in our dreams, we can take that whole week of creation and even get more enlightenment on our dreams.
Amen. And that's showing us how the Spirit flows, and it is also showing us how a house is built, and you are a type of house. So yeah, the meanings of numbers, how they're displayed in scripture, very, very informative in dreams. Sometimes colors even. I do want to point out though, this is a two-sided coin when you're looking at symbols though. There's positive and negative connotations depending on the context of a dream often, but colors in scripture, metals, animals, types of buildings,
yes.
Types of vehicles, whether they're ancient like a chariot or modern like an airplane.
Yes, and the Father is humorous too at times in dreams.
Yes.
Those are some of the greatest dreams because, you know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, but he once after being in serious prayer for my sons, and I know anyone out there who's a parent, you pray for your children and you want your children to have a good life and you want them to have a relationship with the Father of Lights. And I had been praying for my sons and just crying out for them. And the Father gave me a dream with my sons, and they all had these Model T Fords, and he was showing me that they were going to get that Torah thing. They were going to see it. They were going to, you know, they were going to have their ministry vehicles.
Amen.
And Model T, I knew immediately that he was showing me Torah.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I think one of the things we fear the most too is death. And if we see someone that is in real life alive and, you know, something happens to them or they die, especially if it's a child, those dreams, when you wake from them, are so terrifying. But if we think of death in the figurative form, what does that mean?
Are you speaking of spiritual death or?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I thought you were flowing with my thoughts, but yeah.
No, you go ahead and take this.
If it's someone that is currently alive, and maybe it's a family member, a friend, a child, a spouse, and they die in the dream, or they're near death or something of that nature, you can wake from a very cold sweat from a dream like that. It's terrifying. You're thinking, your first natural thought is something going to happen to them? I mean, that's the last thing we want. And generally, it provokes us to fervently pray for them. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But what is really being shown to you is that something in them that needs to die is dying. It can be a very good thing. I mean, that is what salvation is even about. It is about that old man dying and then resurrecting to life as the one new man in Messiah Yeshua and being part of that body. So seeing a death like that is not always a bad thing. It is often very, very good. Maybe the thing you've been praying for them to overcome, you're being shown that thing is about to die. They are going to rise up and overcome that.
Amen. That's for sure. Yes. And also people have dreams that they are very embarrassed to tell anyone about.
Oh, yes.
You know, dreams that they are going to the bathroom, racing to find a bathroom, dreams that they are exposed, just all different types of dreams that bother them or perplex them in the night, even dreams of sleeping with ex-husbands or ex-wives or all of these types of dreams, whether, you know, people may think, well, maybe they took the wrong medication. Well, maybe they did. But going to the bathroom in dreams is very common because when we go to the bathroom, we get rid of waste. It's deliverance. He is showing you that he's delivering you from things, waste and toxins that you need to get out of your spirit so that you can be more in tune with him.
Amen. Amen. And I think that dream is common to every single person because we all need to get rid of junk.
For sure. So one of the things I feel like a lot of people have, with the internet and with social media, we have a lot of self-proclaimed dream interpreters out there. We have a lot of New Age. We have people dabbling in the occult and also dabbling in this. And with everything there is, it's just like the rainbow he created and placed in the sky as a promise. There's always going to be those who do twist or taint or use something that he has given us to help us and take it and twist it or cause people to fear it or cause them to believe that anyone who even speaks of dreams is sort of whacked out or they want to draw attention to themselves. But we read over and over in scripture of him speaking to his people through dreams and warning them. Even the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18, it says the Lord spoke to Paul in the night and said, "Do not be afraid. Go and speak. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will come upon you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city." He also shares in Acts 16:9, it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over here and help us. So we have to realize that this is something that he uses to speak to us. And the more that we ask him to give us dreams in the night, to speak to us, he is going to speak to us. He is going, he wants to commune with us.
He does. He does. Well, I want to get into some dream examples. You know, Bonnie, we have some really good ones even from history. But before we do that, I just want to go through a few of these bullet points that I wrote down about common dreams. We've already talked about some of that, but I think just a quick little answer on some of these common ones and a brief explanation that people have. For example, being pregnant or giving birth or having a baby, that's another very common dream. And even men have those dreams.
Yes.
Where they are pregnant, or maybe it's their wife. And that's really perplexing when a man has that dream when he wakes up. But what does that mean?
Well, those are some of my favorite dreams because it means you're getting ready to birth something, and birth something in the spirit. You could be birthing a book. You could be birthing a business, a ministry, so many things. Just a really good dream, in my opinion.
I've had dreams where there's even intense labor involved, and either I'm watching someone have it or I'm having it. That's very realistic in those dreams. Some of them can be very, very, very vivid, but it is a good dream, like you said. It is, something is going on. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a physical child, though it could. But what about flying or being able to jump really high or punch really hard or just really exaggerated, like superhero type abilities?
I think those are really amazing too. I want to go back to the pregnancy dream real quick. As you were talking about giving birth in a dream, I think sometimes he gives us that so vividly to remind us of labor pains and how hard the pain gets right before the birth. To remind us to just hold on, and that there are midwives praying for us and encouraging us and telling us to push. Yes. Because we need those people, and they are very important. People do not birth things alone. They need help.
Amen. This is true. This is true.
So the flying dreams, those are really cool.
They
don't
are.
You think?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you think they're about?
Well, obviously, I think the context is important. Most of the time when I've had flying dreams, the dream has been peaceful. I wasn't being chased or trying to get away from someone. But I do believe it has to do with rising up above circumstances.
Definitely.
Being able to overcome. Even like the jumping really high. I've had dreams where I couldn't necessarily fly, but I could just jump really far distances. And in those dreams, it is about overcoming again in that same sense.
You reminded me of a dream I had where it was almost as if I wasn't really flying, but it was like a parachuter, someone who parachutes and they're just kind of hovering or soaring.
Yes.
Just hovering above, and I was looking down at the issues, and it was like I had risen above those issues. They were no longer going to be disturbing.
Amen. And I want to point out too, when you're doing that, you're getting high in the air, whether you're jumping, you're flying, you're hovering, you're gliding, which means, what is it that is helping you to overcome those circumstances? Obviously, it's not our own power, but it is.
Right.
It is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is rock like the wind.
Yes. And like you said, the jumping, we can jump over obstacles. We have the power to, you know, and the force to quickly jump over something in the way, something that's blocking our way. So, and also There's jumping for joy.
Mm. Oh, yes. Didn't think about that. See, again, that's a common phrase in our culture, so it will come to play.
There are so many different symbols with so many different meanings, and I think that a lot of common dreams people have are about houses. And if you're having dreams in the bedroom, that's a place of intimacy. If you're in the hallway, you're making a transition usually. You know, a lot of times if there's some kind of friction or things going on in ministries, there may be a car crash in your dream where these two different ministries collide, and there's, you know, there's all these different symbols. And just seek out the Holy Spirit and ask Him to help you interpret it. And if you're still having difficulties, the Father will lead you to bring your dream to someone who can help you with it. Because I do believe that it's important who you get to interpret your dream if you can't figure it out. Because some people only see things in a dark manner. And even if the dream is scary, the Father is really wanting to show you light and protection or correction or encouragement. He is never going to give you a dream. I say never, but, you know, the dream is more than likely not to condemn you.
Amen. Amen. And so even if you find yourself in a dream doing something that would appall you in normal life, like cheating on your spouse, you know, you mentioned that. What is that generally in a dream?
Well, he's just letting you know that you've sort of gone backwards a little bit, and you're going back to your old ways, and you need to draw closer to your husband and just come back to your first love, because he's a jealous father.
Amen. He is. And he's so very good to give you a dream that's going to shake you like that. Or to appall you, just to get us back on track.
Amen.
And then there's a lot of people that have dreams where they are being chased, attacked, shot at. What do you think about those dreams, Bonnie?
Well, I've had several of those.
Me too.
Here recently, I had one. People had assault weapons, and just the word assault, I mean, he was warning me that, you know, there may be some people that would come and assault me. Or, you know, people shoot you with their words.
Right.
We harm and kill more people with our words than anything else. And it's just, you know, being aware and knowing how to pray, because we all need to pray to be slow to speak, slow to become angry, quick to listen, and to have more compassion.
Amen. Yes. So with the symbolism, I mean, we could go on and on and on and on, but encourage you, when you do have something that's exaggerated or that stands out in the dream, whether it is a house or whether it's a body part or an object or person or something like that, to consider what that thing is in real life. What is its function and purpose? Because sometimes that will give you an idea. Like if you're dreaming of your teeth falling out, what do your teeth do? They help you to chew on things, to digest and meditate. So maybe we're losing an ability to be able to do that with something. Things of that nature. But you found some very interesting dreams, Bonnie, that have been recorded historically. I would like you to bring some of those out, because I find them fascinating.
I do too, Keisha. I just think they're marvelous. And you can look up a lot of these dreams on the internet now that people have recorded in diaries. They uncovered, I was just reading this morning where they uncovered over 100 dreams from these men who were in prison during World War II. And it was just fascinating. The Father was speaking to them right then and there. But one of the most interesting ones I found concerned Abraham Lincoln. Supposedly, he told this dream to a man named Ward Hill Lamon in 1865. He says here, about 10 days ago, I retired very late. I had been up waiting for important dispatches from the front lines. I could not have been long in bed when I fell into a slumber, for I was weary, and I soon began to dream. Then I heard subdued sobs as if a number of people were weeping, and I went from room to room. No living person was in sight, but the same mournful sounds of distress met me as I passed along. I was determined to find the cause of a state of things so mysterious and so shocking. I crept on until I arrived at the east room, which I entered. There I met with a sickening surprise. Before me was a casket on which rested a corpse wrapped in funeral vestments. And so he dreamed this the day before he was shot. And so this man, Hill Lamon, was his bodyguard. It says Hill Lamon, a bodyguard and friend of Abraham Lincoln, included a chapter in his memoir of his time with the late president titled Dreams and President. Anyway, he says that Lincoln was always interested in dreams, that he wrote his dreams down. And just a few days before the assassination, this dream of this corpse that he saw was actually himself.
Wow. Yeah, that is fascinating.
So one of the other dreams I found that I thought was very interesting concerned an African-American woman. Her name was Madam C.J. Walker. She was born in 1867 and she died in 1919. And in the 1890s, she suffered from this very bad scalp infection that caused most of all of her hair to fall out. And so she was experimenting with various medicines and hair products, and none of them worked. And so she began to pray. And she wrote in her diary, she said, "He answered my prayers. For one night I had a dream, and in that dream, a large man appeared to me and told me what to mix up in my hair. Some of the remedy was grown in Africa, but I sent for it, mixed it, put it on my scalp, and in a few weeks my hair was coming in faster than it had ever fallen out. I tried it on my friends and it helped them, so I made up my mind to sell it." And so apparently she began to sell this product, and it was met with such success that she became a millionaire many times over. And she cited in the Guinness Book of World Records as being the first American female self-made millionaire.
Wow. All from a dream.
Yeah. She dreamed the recipe in the night. But there are multiple famous dreams by famous people who were given insights. Einstein. I mean, you start looking at these scientists and these chemists and doctors who discovered remedies for things. The man who invented the eye, the needle to sew with, he dreamed it. So many authors dream their whole stories in the night. I think we need to start becoming more aware of what we dream. And I think you and I both know, if you go out and you buy, let's say you go out tomorrow and you buy a Toyota Corolla. Well, you'll start noticing that when you go for a drive, you're going to start seeing Toyotas everywhere. Same make and model. All of a sudden, they're just popping out everywhere. It's sort of the same way. What we focus on and what we're, if we're intently seeking him and we're reading his word and we're asking him to give us dreams and to speak to us, and he doesn't always just speak in dreams. He uses nature. He uses animals. He uses other people. He surely speaks to us through his word. But we cannot discount how often he speaks through dreams.
Amen.
The Father who created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. I mean, I can't create a beetle bug. I can't create a giraffe. I don't have the power. But the Father who created the heavens and the earth, he is so intricate in details. He will give you a dream that is so personal. He's given me dreams that were so personal, and they ministered to me so much that sometimes during my darkest hours, he will bring it back to my memory just to encourage me.
You know, sometimes, too, he'll give you answers. Like, before I decided to write publicly on Grace and Torah, I was praying whether he wanted me to do that, because I didn't want to do it if he didn't want me to do it. And he gave me a dream, and in the dream, a beautiful woman comes up to me, very, very soft, grandmotherly type demeanor, and she has a little card in her hand. It was like the size of a business card. She didn't say anything to me, but in the dream, she just handed me the card, and when I looked at the card, it said, Grace in Torah, and it was written like in calligraphy and had all this detail and stuff to it. And when I woke up, I knew that I was supposed to write, but I didn't even know what I was going to even name my blog. And that is the name of my blog.
That is amazing. I love that story. I'm not sure if you've ever shared that with me, but that is so wonderful. Love it.
So solving problems, getting an answer, and someone might say, well, you got that dream, but you weren't told to write. But you know what? I knew what it was in the dream. You know, when I woke up, I just knew.
Amen.
And then sometimes I believe he gives us great comfort. You know, he's comforting us when we've lost a loved one or are grieving over any sort of like situation. And I had a dream. It was that actually my grandmother died 1 year. And then almost a year later, my grandfather died. And of course, that was really hard. I was very close to them, and so was the family. They were truly like the matriarch and patriarch of our little clan, or whatever you want to call it. And they did really have a clan. There's a bunch of us that come forth from them. But in the dream, I saw my grandfather, and he was very well known for this huge toothy smile and his laugh. It was loud and it was just contagious. And so in the dream, I see him, and we're in a doctor's office, like a physician's office, and we're waiting in a line. And the whole point of us being there was to go show the doctor that my grandfather was well and that he had been healed. And he was wearing like this long white t-shirt that was more like a gown that came down past his knees. And it was something he would never wear. He always had on pants. He never wore shorts or anything like that. But on the shirt, it was written like a child would write in crayon. And each letter was a different color. And the shirt said, I'm with Grandma. And it had an arrow. It was like one of those, you know, ridiculous shirts that say, I'm with Stupid. And it has an arrow. But instead, But it did say, I'm with Grandma. And I was asking him, what are you doing here? What, you know, what is this? And I was so elated to see him. And he just laughed at me and was shaking his head as if, don't you know? Don't you know? And so anyway, that I had that dream. And upon waking, I didn't remember it. And this happens a lot with dreams too. Something will happen during the day. And you'll see something, hear something, immediately the whole dream will just come back to you. And that's what happened. We were staying with my mother to go to the funeral, and I went outside to put a bag in the car. When I did, this huge gust of wind came, and my mom had these wind chimes, and these wind chimes just started banging together really hard, and I just got cold chills all over me, because the wind chime was from the death of another grandmother. That's when they were given to my parents. And when that happened, immediately the whole dream just came to me. And the dream wasn't just for my comfort, but see, it brought comfort to my mom, who had just lost her father, and other family members. So I just find stuff like that fascinating.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, many people have dreams about loved ones who have went on to see them, and a lot of the places they will see them at in dreams are in comfortable, cozy recliners. They're just resting in the recliner, or they're in a cozy cabin, or they're resting on the bed, and he's just letting us know that they're good, they're resting, don't you worry about them, they're fine. just taking the worry or the stress away. And so, well, Keisha, I want to pray for everyone who's listening right now that the Father will just open up the airways and just begin to minister to them in the night.
Amen. Please do.
Wow, Father, we just thank you that you give dreams to us in the night, that you, Father, give us riddles, and that you open up our ears, that when deep sleep falls upon us and we slumber in our beds in that peaceful quietness, Father, I just pray that you begin to speak to your people, that, Father, there is intimacy, that, Father, they want to draw close to you, and you will draw close to them. And, Father, that these riddles in the night, Father, will become just so interesting to them that they can't wait to hear from you. They can't wait to write down and to meditate on the dreams and watch them come forth, or pray about the warnings so that they are given warnings and advice on how to pray and what to pray about and who to pray for. And that you not only speak to them in dreams, but that you speak to them in visions. You speak to them through your word. You speak to them through your nature, where you say, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he says, I see the bud of an almond tree. That you just begin to speak to your people and pour out your Holy Spirit on them, Father, where they come to know you and your Spirit and how intimate you want to be with your children, just like a father wants to have intimacy with his children. And I just pray, Father, that this podcast speaks to people, and, Father, that it removes fear, because perfect love casts out fear, that they will not be afraid of your Ruach HaKodesh. They will not have fear of your precious Holy Spirit and the intimacy that comes with it. And they will not even be afraid of their dreams, Father, that they will realize that you are a good, good Father. You are a loving Father who knows the end from the beginning, who can pull up even a person from when I was 5 years old whose name was Miracle to remind me that there is a house of miracles, his house, his power, his son. And Father, I just pray that you bless your people today, and that we begin to see and hear you and incorporate this into a pattern where when we lay down at night, we just thank you and bless you that you're going to speak to us, that you are going to speak to us in the nighttime hour. And it's in the name of your son, Yeshua, the Messiah, that we pray this prayer, Father. And we do love you. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. May it be so. Oh, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Father, if anything from this podcast comes forth, Father, I pray that people will realize that you speak to each one of us, that their life matters to you. The details in their life matters to you. The struggles and the trials that they go through are meant to bring them closer to you, are meant to help them get rid of the junk and walk in more peace and walk in more fullness of your Spirit, Father. So if anything, I just pray that all those who feel like they're all alone, that they are isolated, that they know that you know and that you love them and that you care for them, and you care for them enough to give them dreams in the night, to give them correction and instruction, to give them warnings, to give them edification, Father. And I pray that if there is a heavy burden on their heart that has come about from a dream, Father, that you will direct them to those that can help them work through those dreams. And I ask, Father, that you just bless your people. Fill them with your Ruach HaKodesh. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we've went about an hour, Bonnie. And we could go on and on with dreams and dream examples. And I'm sure those listening have many, many of their own. But I do just want to bring out a few points. If you haven't been paying attention to your dreams and you haven't been recording them, to do so. And this is the month of dreams. And not that you don't get dreams every night, but it's you're reading them in the Torah portions this month. Pay attention to them, because you don't have to be Joseph to get a dream. You don't have to be Joseph to interpret a dream. But some things that help me when I'm overall looking at a dream, especially if it's one that's long and has a lot of detail, is to pay attention to the main theme of that dream. What is my overarching feeling in the dream? You know, is it dark? Is it light outside? Is it a foggy dream, a fuzzy dream? Or is it a very, very vivid dream full of color? Who are the people? What do their names mean? What are their primary characteristics, or even their occupation? Their occupation can matter too. Or if there's animals or numbers, just make note of those things and think about their primary form and function, because that's the way Hebrew works. And your dreams are very much discerned the same way you would discern the very Hebrew Bible.
Amen. For sure.
Do you have anything to add to that list, Bonnie? That was just a few things.
Well, I think it's important to recognize, like you say, is it dark out? Is it light? Who is in your dreams? What do their names mean? What is the occupation? You know, we've discussed this before. My husband, he has a lot of dreams where he's a police officer, and he is a retired police officer. So, you know, there's just different symbols everywhere, and telephones, communication is usually what that can mean in a dream. And so just be aware. And I love what you said about the Father is no respecter of person. He gives everyone dreams, and he helps them interpret them, and he will speak. He wants to speak to his children. And so I think more and more people are going to start realizing that it's not just because they ate some pizza. There is really something spiritual happening.
Amen. Amen. And you know, one thing I've noticed too is, in your workplace, or maybe your contacts, you know, we have plenty that are not, you know, they're in the world, they're lost, they don't know Yeshua, or maybe if they do, they have a very shallow relationship, and you know this, but God gives them dreams, and they're often compelled to tell them to you.
Yes.
And I believe that if you have his spirit in you and you're paying attention, there's a reason why they're compelled to tell you their dream. And I believe he gives you everything that you need to do so. And obviously, they know you. They know your walk. They know whom it is you serve. At least they should. And that can just bring about salvation. It can bring them deliverance from something. All of those things. So don't just write it off because your coworker, they're constantly dreaming and telling you all these dreams, and you're like, oh, she had another dream again. Or what? Pay attention to that. There's a reason why you're there and hearing it.
And that just reminded me of Gideon and the man, wasn't it the man in the military and the enemy? Yeah, overheard the dream. So, but using it as a witness, like you're saying, I had a lady who was not a believer who sent a dream to me, and the Father gave me interpretation for this dream, and she was so encouraged by it and so in awe that she ended up wanting to know more about the Father and wanting to read some of my teaching books. And now she's totally in love with Abba and learning his word and everything. And it was all over a dream.
Hallelujah. That's a great testimony.
Yes.
I think we're going to close out. And I know some of you are going to be sad because you want to know more and you want to know more symbolism. you are interested in something like that, you can get in touch with Bonnie and I and let us know. I'm going to give my website and information, and Bonnie, I'm going to let you give yours, and then we're going to close out, and maybe we'll do something similar to this in the future, maybe not on Dreams, something else. But you can find me at graceintora.net. You can email me at grace, the letter N, not I-N, graceintora@gmail.com.
It's been a lot of fun talking about dreams, Keisha, and I hope everyone enjoys listening to the podcast. If you want to reach me, you can reach me at Obadiah's Cave, which is newwineskins.net, or you can find out more about my books and my poetry and other writings at tekoamanning.com. That's T-E-K-O-A Manning.com.
Well, thank you for joining me with this, Bonnie. It's one of the things that I love. You and I talk about dreams a lot. And thank you for listening, everyone. We pray that you have a blessed month of dreams.
Amen. Shalom.
Shalom.